Okay. Yeah, you have to have that one right down, and then that one to there. Yeah. I told Mark to do that just to make sure you lot were awake. That was actually screaming demons. Leaving the place because God's word's about to be preached. Let's just pray for God's word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this evening again as we turn to your word, we thank you, Lord God, that we believe that your word is true. And we ask that your truth, Lord God, would set people free tonight. Lord, it's not just a truth for unbelievers. And of course, we want unbelievers, Lord God, to be touched by the power of your truth and the power of your spirit to bring them to faith in Jesus. But Lord, your truth is a continual truth to the believer, Lord God, leading us in truth and enabling us, Lord God, as we walk in that truth to be continually set free in our path of victory with you. Lord, we love you and we want a Jesus-centered life. And we pray tonight that your word would lead us, Lord God, to your truth and not the truths that the world seeks to teach, Lord God, because it's your word that abides forever. We bless you, O God. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word, and our ears, Lord God, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, this is the beginning of a new series called What in This Broken World is Happening? And this theme actually comes from the BBC drama. I had mentioned this some weeks ago in one of the talks that I had given. It comes from the BBC drama series Shetland. I don't know, did anybody here ever watch Shetland? It's really good. So if you've got iPlayer or whatever, get on there and watch it. It's very, very good. Of course, after your prayer time, go on and watch it. But anyway, during one of the episodes of Shetland, a friend of Detective Inspector Jimmy Perez told him, when he was looking at everything that was going on around him on Shetland, and murders and terrible things happening and people trafficking and all that was going on, even his young daughter was under serious threat, a friend said to Jimmy Perez, the detective, "The world's broken and you can't fix it. The world's broken and you can't fix it." And that inspired me, and I just put a wee note down. I thought that would actually be a good theme for a series of talks in Shiloh. And so over the next few weeks, I want to look at some issues affecting our world. Now, they may be things, or they may not be things that you have heard or not heard of, but nonetheless, they will be important matters. Maybe not so much to you, but they could have serious implications for us all. And there will be times when we're going through this series that I have to make it clear to you. There will be times when I will give my opinion, and believe me, I struggle not to give my opinion about certain things, but in this series I will be giving you my opinion because I think it's important that I do so, and I will tell you this is my opinion. However, I want to give some biblical insight, and I aim to give God's view on the subject. You see, my opinion doesn't really matter. It's what does God's word say? Because God's word abides forever. Now, you may have a different view to mine, and that's all right. There'll be a punch-up after every service, no doubt. But you're entitled to your view. But it's not my intention to change your view, okay? You can have a different view to me, and it's not my intention. I'm not here to persuade you over these series of subjects that we're going to be looking at. I'm not here to persuade you that you finish at the end of the night walking out of this door saying, "I now accept what Taddy Gordon believes." Because guess what? My opinion might be wrong. It's what does God's word say that matters. And I hope, rather than me try to change your views to my opinions, I hope that you will give some consideration to what God says on the various subjects. Okay, so our first one tonight, we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 3. If you've got a Bible with you, 2 Peter chapter 3, it's just before 2 Peter chapter 2. and it's in the New Testament. And I'm going to read the first 13 verses, so I'll do it quite fast here. By the time you find 2 Peter... Nearly at the book of Revelation, There's a clue. Nearly at the book of Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, Peter writes, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle. This is the second letter that he's written. I now write this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's just a wee word which is not part of my sermon tonight. But see if you're a scoffer. See if you're a mocker. See if you're someone who makes fools out of Christians or mocks Christians for being Christians. Let me just explain something to you tonight. The very reason that you still exist, the very reason that you are still alive, is because God is patient and he does not want you to perish. But God patiently is giving you, scoffer, another opportunity to repent and put your trust in Jesus. Because there is a day fixed when you're going to die and you don't know when it is. And if you have not repented and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will perish. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. The veteran broadcaster and the natural historian Sir David Attenborough, famous for his unique narration of nature documentaries. In fact, he was on today, Nature's Great Events. But he's famous for these documentaries that he does and these programs like The Natural World and Blue Planet. He was recently on TV, I don't know if anybody noticed, but he was recently on TV speaking of a global threat to our planet. And, you know, Armour was here this morning, he was talking about aliens. Now, he wasn't for a minute suggesting that there is aliens, but, you know, jokingly he was talking about aliens, and people think, you know, there's aliens are going to come one day and invade planet Earth. And I've always said, you know, I used to live in a big house in the Bloomfield Road. I didn't know none of my dad at this, but it had a big back garden, and I used to say, listen, they're more welcome. They can come and land a spacecraft any night they want in my house and in my garden, you know, because I said if they're there, they may as well come, you know. Oh, they're going to come one day and get us. Well, he was basically saying a similar thing, only he wasn't saying it was going to be aliens. David Attenborough was saying that there is a global threat to our planet and how it faces a potential crisis which we must all fix. Not incredible. There's this global threat and we have to fix it. It sounds like something like one of those doomsday movies, doesn't it? You know, that, you know, people are going to have to fly to the moon or fly to a meteor to come put our bomb in it and blow it to pieces before it comes to planet Earth, or 2012, or one of those mad doomsday scenarios. But this is what Sir David Attenborough said. Climate change is humanity's greatest threat in thousands of years and could lead to the collapse of civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world. Climate change is humanity's greatest threat in thousands of years and could lead to the collapse of civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world. In his program, Sir David interviewed some of the world's leading scientists to talk about the extreme weather conditions, including the storms and the wildfires. And these scientists gave their opinions about what is happening in our world and how it could impact human populations and the natural world. What in this broken world is happening? Climate change seems to be one of the big issues affecting our modern world. There is not a day goes by when we're not confronted with news about global warming or melting ice caps, greenhouse gases, carbon emissions to contend with, not to mention the environmental and ecological catastrophes that mankind faces if we don't switch off our lights when not in use, or recycle our recyclable goods, or let's all have to drive now electric cars. I mean, very soon, councils are going to be giving out bins for us to recycle our bins in. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've got a black bin for your landfill rubbish. You've got a blue bin for your recycling stuff. You've got a green bin for your garden stuff. Then you've got a black container for your glass and a caddy for the food scraps. Well, sorry to tell you, North Down Borough Council, no disrespect. I use my black bin for landfill and a lot of other rubbish. I do recycle some stuff. My green bin's where I keep my sticks for the winter to light my fire. I don't have a black container because I turned it into a plant pot. And my food caddy was kicked up the back of Listenabreen Crescent. What in this broken world is happening? We're told that there is overwhelming scientific consensus on climate change, even if the DUP Sammy Wilson says differently. And we're told that we humans are mostly responsible. I don't know how I'm responsible for Mount Etna's volcano. I don't know how I'm responsible for a tsunami. I don't know how I'm responsible for rain and hail and snow and famines. But according to scientific consensus, humans are mostly responsible. Scientists tell us if we don't get climate change under control, now listen, if we don't get climate change under control, at least one in six species is at risk of extinction. Wonder what that includes scientists. Other scientists, right? One in six, when you hear this, one in six species is at risk of extinction. Whereas other scientists inform us that between 150 and 200 species of plant, insect, bird and mammal become extinct every 24 hours. While at the same time, different scientists tell us between 15,000 and 18,000 new species are identified every year. Well, I don't know if you can do the sums, but let me ask you this. When people get injured, when people really hurt themselves, who do they turn to? No, not yet. Nolene, you're jumping the gun. Nolene, unless you have a healing ministry, you can't answer God. When people get injured, they turn to the professionals within the medical field, to inform them what that, oh, you broke your arm or whatever else, to find out what damage has been done and to receive the help that they need toward healing. Isn't that right? Okay. When people experience mental health problems, they turn to those in the psychiatric fields to get a diagnosis and receive the help that they need to recover. So it seems, when people see or hear of unprecedented storms and wildfires, of massive earthquakes, tsunamis and volcanoes, and they want to know what's happening in our world, they turn to the field of scientists for the answers. Scientists tell us our world is broken and we need to fix it. Classic. They don't tell us how. Our world is broken and we need to fix it. Switch off lights when not in use. That'll stop a tsunami. Climate change, environmental catastrophes and ecological disasters are predicted by many of the world's leading scientists. Now, I don't want to throw cold water on global warming or climate change or on what these highly intelligent scientists have to say. And nor do I want to sound skeptical. But many of these same scientists would also tell us that the universe, including our planet, was created from a big bang that happened out of intense, dense heat that they don't know where it came from 13.8 billion years ago. That's how precise they can be. 13.8 billion years ago. And then just over 2 million years ago, we humans evolved from apes somewhere in Africa. Now, these are the people that we're turning to when our world is broken. And they're saying to us, the world is broken and we need to fix it. Last week, or for the last couple of weeks in London, I don't know if you've noticed, but it was subjected to a series of peaceful protests by the recently informed Extinction Rebellion. In fact, if the police made them extinct, there wouldn't be a rebellion. But anyway, they've called themselves Extinction Rebellion. They used to be called the Great Unwashed. But anyway, this group, they're a socio-political movement which uses peaceful protesting to raise awareness of climate change, God help them, and the risk of human extinction if governments don't make changes. In the 1980s, they would probably have been called CND. Do you remember them? I went in one of them things. I was bored to death one time when I lived in Coventry. I was out of my face and drugs. And people says, oh, there's a protest, fancy going. So I thought, it might be a riot, let's go. But turned out to be quiet. Anyway. But in the 1980s, Extinction Rebellion probably would have been called CND. In the 1990s, they would have been an anti-globalization group. And in the 2000s, they would have been the Make Poverty History campaigners. Well, there's a 16-year-old Swedish climate change activist, I don't know if you've seen her on the news, called Greta Thunberg. And she attended an Extinction Rebellion rally and spoke about climate change and a whole lot of other things. And she also spoke at another event. And she spoke about how climate change is an existential crisis. Basically, we're going to become extinct. An existential crisis. And she urged politicians, listen to the scientists. Listen to the scientists. Listen to the scientists. Now, what do you hear? Speaking to MPs in the Houses of Parliament, Greta said this, you lied to us. Hello, they're politicians. You lied to us. You give us false hope. Hello, Conservative government. You told us that the future was something to look forward to. Hello, the miners. And the saddest thing is that most children are not even aware of the fate that awaits us. Greta continued, we will not understand it until it's too late. And yet we are the lucky ones. Yeah, makes sense.
Those who will be affected the hardest are already suffering the consequences, but their voices are not heard. Then she said this, around the year 2030, we will be in a position where we set off an irreversible chain reaction beyond human control that will most likely lead to the end of our civilization as we know it. That is, unless in that time, permanent and unprecedented changes in all aspects of society have taken place, including a reduction of CO2 emissions by at least 50%. Sir David Attenborough, climate change is humanity's greatest threat in thousands of years and could lead to the collapse of civilizations and the extinction of much of the natural world. Greta Thunberg, the end of our civilization as we know it. Boy, they're a barrel of laughs, those two, aren't they? What in this broken world's happening? Well, I'll tell you tonight what's happening. What's happening in this broken world? Because the scientists, God help them, but the scientists on this occasion are right. The world is broken. And the world needs to be fixed. But they are wrong if they think it can be fixed. What's happening in this broken world is this. People are turning to scientists for the answers to the world's problems instead of turning to God. And that is the problem in this world. People are turning to scientists. They're turning to the wisdom of man instead of turning to Almighty God for the answers. If you're sick, you go to a doctor. If you're suffering from mental ill health, you go to a psychiatrist. If our world is broken by climate change and other environmental problems threatening our existence, you don't turn to scientists, you turn to God. This world is broken, and scientists can't fix it. I'll tell you something. Worse, even God can't fix it. Do you hear that? Even God Almighty can't fix this broken world. And that is why God has decreed that this world as we know it will be destroyed by fire. When that will be, we don't know. But even scientists agree that our world is heading towards destruction. I believe what may indeed be man-made catastrophes and unprecedented global warming events are permitted within the will of God as His purposes ripen fast toward destroying this world by fire. However, the truth that many scientists won't tell you is that you need to repent of your sin. You need to put away your wickedness. You need to have your sin dealt with now. You need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone so that you can be saved from God's coming judgment on this world of sin, because this world is going to be judged. God has told us in 2 Peter, it has been reserved, just as it was one day reserved to be destroyed by flood, and God fulfilled His word, so He has said this world as we know it is reserved at this time to be destroyed by fire, and you need to repent of your sin. You need to put your trust in Jesus and get saved so that you can be saved from the coming judgment that will fall upon this world. No scientist will tell you that tonight. Unless you repent of your sin, you will perish in hell. When God originally made this world and everything in it, He said that it was good. He loved mankind. And he made mankind stewards of all that he had made. But sin entered in and ruined it. And mankind has not been a good steward of what God entrusted to us. Because of sin, this world as we know it has to be destroyed to make way for the new world to come. Now that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take some note of what scientists warn us about. They're not all wrong, and not all scientists are bad people. They're not all dafties. You know, some of them are good people, and you think of the scientists that are working towards cures for cancer and all of those different things. We should take heed of some of the things that they warn us about, particularly regarding climate change and global warming. Switch off lights when not in use. Of course we should conserve energy. We should try to reduce waste and carbon emissions. Of course we have a responsibility, every one of us, to look after our planet as best we can for the future generations, how many or how few that might be. We have a responsibility to look after our planet as best we can for whatever future generations there will be. But let's not fool ourselves into believing that we can make this broken world better. We can't. God has reserved the heavens and the earth for destruction by fire. Now let me tell you, there will be no widespread scientific consensus on what I've said tonight. But regarding climate change and the question, what in this broken world is happening? Will you, as Greta Thunberg asks, will you listen to the scientists? Or will you listen to the Word of God? For the Word of God says, this world as we know it is reserved for judgment by fire. The only fire escape is that people repent of their sins and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. That is the only way that any human being will escape the judgment of God. And it's my prayer tonight that while we live in this broken world, many people will turn to Jesus and find salvation in and through his glorious name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we know, Lord God, that we live on a planet that is cursed by sin. We see the manifestations of that curse of sin in sickness, in disease, in death. We see it, Lord God, in the climate change, Lord God, and in our inhumanity to man, Lord God. We see the waste, how, Lord God, we have been bad stewards of the good things that you have given to us. And yet, Lord God, you haven't given up on us. You're so patient, Lord God, toward us. You lavish your love upon us, Lord God. Your mercies are new every morning. And you would that none would perish, but that they would all come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And so tonight, Lord God, as we recognize that what's happening in this broken world does affect us, climate change does affect us, Lord, what we need to understand is these things are permitted within your general will so that your purposes ripen fast to the day when Jesus shall return to gather those that are his unto himself, and we shall be forever with the Lord, and the judgment of God will be poured out upon this earth and it will be destroyed by fire, and then the new world will come. May those, Lord God, who flee to Jesus find in him a full and wonderful salvation, a fire escape from the judgment of Almighty God, because Jesus has paid our debt in full by his death on the cross. Lord, tonight, please, may your word do its work. May it draw sinners to repentance and faith in Jesus. May it inspire believers to live Jesus-centered lives. And may you be glorified through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.